Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Today is Monday, February 29th. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey.
This reminds us it's a leap year, right? We get 29 days in February.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. I was looking at my calendar this morning because I have a lot of things to do on the 1st.
Right.
And I was just assuming it was a couple days away.
Couple days away,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then I looked and I thought, oh my gosh, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's February, folks.
Yeah.
So, and it's the end of February, too. I don't understand. I really hoped for some rain over February, but at this point, I've given up on that.
I just can't believe it's flown by so fast.
Yeah, yeah. The winter's over, man. Yeah. So much for El Nino and El whatever.
I know. You know, I was attending an Oscar event last night called Children Uniting Nations. Well, that's the charity that it was for.
Yeah.
Great organization. And it dawned on me that I had been there the last 2 years, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been here 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. It just seems like yesterday, you know?
It does fly. Time does fly. So so you went to a party that was held by a charity?
It was, yeah.
Okay, yes, and that was like an Oscar watching party, or was it
was
like
an Oscar viewing party, yeah.
Oscar viewing.
I know.
Mean, yeah.
Same thing. Same thing. No, you know, it's just so funny because I love my Facebook friends and Instagram friends because I'll like post a picture and they're like, oh my God, you're at the Oscars. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, might as well, right?
I know. I'm like, close enough.
Exactly.
I mean,
we're in the same city. What the hell?
Yeah, I know. Close enough. But, yeah, I should have gone to the, you know, epic after parties that they have. I had some friends go to Elton John you know, Vanity Fair. But I was so exhausted last night. I still haven't caught up because I'm doing that night shoot series for YouTube Red, the new YouTube streaming channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
It's like Netflix, but YouTube is doing it, and you know, you pay a monthly subscription.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to subscribe to it. And I'm doing the show called The House That Evil Built, and it's all night shoots. So I can't recover. Like, I just can't do it.
Night shoots.
Yeah, and then I'll still work in the day. Uh-huh. Like, I'll still come to work here and work at my other jobs.
Wow,
and
so you're exhausted.
I'm like, I think I've aged like 5 years. I know. I can't believe it. So anyways, I'm having a hard time kind of recouping. So I called it an early night, and I literally went to bed at like 8 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah, but
I don't blame you.
I know, but I don't know. Maybe I should have gone. It's only once a year, but it was epic. I heard again.
Yeah. So how did you watch the Oscars then if you went to sleep at 8?
Well, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't watch it. Cool.
No. All right. Bad actress. I didn't watch it. No, I should have. But I just didn't get around to it. And you know, in all honesty, I'm not that into it.
I know. I'm not either.
Really?
I didn't watch it at all. And in fact, I posted on Facebook and there were several people that said, no, they're not watching either.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I love reporting on it.
Right.
Because it's a passion of mine. I love the red carpet hosting. I've always loved it. Always will. But as far as the actual awards part and who gets what, I could really care less.
Right. Who cares, right? We haven't seen any of these movies anyway.
I know. I got all the screeners, and I've watched a few of them.
Oh, you have watched them. Okay.
But not all of them. Not all of them.
Right.
But did you see? I believe our friends won the Stutterer movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The short film?
Yeah, the short film.
Wow, how cool.
I know.
How do you know? Did you see it somewhere?
I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I didn't actually
watch
it.
Well, congratulations. You see, we had Oscar winners here.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That was last week. If you guys want to check it out, it was a movie called Stutterer, and seems like a very emotional film that's well done. The film, they said, was what? Was their film 30 minutes, or was that the 12-minute one?
That was the 12-minute one.
That was the 12-minute one, right.
Yes.
So a 12-minute film, that's all you have to invest, and seems like a great film to me. And they were from England, and they made the shortlist, and finally you're saying they won.
Yeah.
So we're really excited for them. Yeah. They deserved it.
And the 30-minute film with the guys from Vienna, I believe, was the Everything Will Be Okay.
Right.
And, I followed them as well, Patrick and all of them, as they did their whole Oscar thing on Facebook.
Were they in the same category?
They were in the same category.
So
I know.
One of them had to lose.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But still opened a lot of doors for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, which will be exciting for them.
Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, Oscar night. You know, I didn't watch anything. Sometimes I'll have it on and I'll just pass by and see something. But I was just busy. I was doing other things and stuff. And I felt I have no desire to watch this, you know. Mm-hmm. All this self-congratulating stuff, which is...
I know.
It's okay to watch for 5 minutes. But to sit there on my ass for 3 hours, I just can't do it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care what party I'm in, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's... I have mixed emotions about it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's great in the sense that it's awesome to have a goal, right? And to have dreams and, you know, achieving something like winning an Oscar must feel amazing. And I think it's great. But then you have the flip side where it's, you know, all of this, you know, self-gratitude type thing, and then it kind of just makes other people feel bad who are striving for the same thing. So, like I said, I have mixed emotions. It's great on one hand, but then it's not on the other hand. So, so I don't know. I mean, I guess it just all boils down to the work and, you know, making great movies.
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, I mean, I'm not going to deny that, but it's just fascinating with celebrities, you know, especially where people will quote them as though they're like... you know, as though they have an informed opinion or something. They're just movie stars. They play other people.
Right.
That's what they do, you know.
Right.
It's not like I really, you know, some of them are smart. You know, you get like quotes from, I see a picture here of Morgan Freeman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He's an intelligent man. You can tell, right?
Yeah.
So I'll sit and listen to him. But when Rosie O'Donnell or some of these people are saying, oh, we're moving to Canada if Trump wins, it's like, go ahead, you know. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Right? Right, I know.
So I don't care about these celebrities and stuff and Sean Penn with all his bullshit and stuff. So, and, you know, the Oscars is politics, you know. That's all it is. You know, people vote for who they know.
I know. Yeah,
and
you
know, they make deals with.
That has become more and more clear to me after having lived in this town for an extended period of time. It's all nepotistic.
Right.
And it makes it very difficult for somebody who is coming in from the outside, so to speak, right? It's, you know, it's incredibly difficult to go to the same audition with someone who's been going to barbecues with Steven Spielberg since she was 11 years old, you know? And there are people like that.
Yeah.
And most of them, you know, if you, it's so funny. I was talking to one of my girlfriends the other day and, you know, it's funny if you look at all of the major, you know, network TV shows, there are people who have come from absolutely no connection whatsoever.
Right.
But the vast majority of them have some sort of connection.
That's true,
I was looking at the Big Bang Theory, for example, and the little guy who plays the what's his last name? I don't know. He plays the little Jewish guy. His aunt is like one of the biggest casting directors in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah. There's always some kind of obscure connection.
Right.
You know, in some form or fashion, usually.
Right.
And so, not that he's not talented. He's amazing. But I'm just saying that there is usually some sort of
connection. No, it's true. Connection. You know, I mean, many people get their, you know, are born to movie stars and things like that, you know. Like, I don't know, like George Clooney, for example. You know, his parents were very involved in Hollywood and everything, so I'm sure that helped him. Not to say he's not talented, but there's a lot of talented people in this town, you know.
Exactly.
And nobody even notices them.
Yeah, well, so it's kind of like what Patrick, the Oscar nominee, was saying the other day. He was like, yeah, I mean, this one movie star he was talking about, it took him like 13 years to get his big break, and it's not that he wasn't talented. It's just that he hadn't been in the right place at the right time or met the right person. And so,
yeah, you got to be noticed, you know.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing.
Yeah.
What baffles me is the attention that Mad Max has gotten. I mean, they led with 6 awards.
And
yeah, and this is a movie, like, it's not Oscar type movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started watching it actually the other day. I turned it off after 5 minutes. I could not connect to it at all.
Really?
So yeah, I don't know what the hell the story is with it, but it didn't grab me at all, not like the first one.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because in past years there have been films like that.
Yeah.
You know, The Grand Budapest Hotel was a good example for me. I mean, you know, my sister Brooke thought it was brilliant. Like, she just loved it. And I didn't. I mean, I was tempted to walk out of the theater.
Really?
I was
just like, boring to you?
I mean, just the humor just wasn't my style, I guess.
Isn't it a British movie?
Yeah. Just like I just wasn't into it. I just was like, oh, there's like nothing riveting about this movie whatsoever. And it won everything, you know, so what do I know? Clearly nothing.
No, that's the thing, is that the movies that usually win have a message behind them. It's not so much that their entertainment value as much as their filmmaking value or something. So
right.
I guess that's what they look for. I don't know. I think there's a lot of pretentiousness going on, you know, and stuff like that.
But, mm-hmm.
but yeah. So I guess, you know, all this Hollywood is racist and all that stuff came up as well. And Chris Rock, I didn't even hear. So why don't we listen to about a minute and a half of Chris Rock's delivery here. Let's see what he said, because I'm sure it's probably the best part of the whole show. In the Oscars, isn't it?
What opportunity? Want the black actors to get the same opportunities as white actors. That's it.
And the Oscar goes to Mad Max Fury Road.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay, the rest is not interesting. So it's not... yeah, they have Joe Biden here. I don't care what he has to say. But but yeah, I thought it was just a Chris Rock thing, but apparently it's not. It's just the Oscars in 90 seconds. But, you know, I mean, there was a lot of discussion about it and stuff, and... You know, we've talked a lot about it. I don't really want to talk about it anymore. But especially we have a phone call coming in. I totally forgot to introduce our guest. So let's go ahead and take this call right now. And we're going to be joined by Nikki Dinky. Nikki, are you on the phone with us?
I am. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for calling. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I am so good. How are you guys doing out there in sunny L.A.?
Good.
Yeah, we're doing very well, and I'm here with Kelsey, and we're excited to speak to you. We spoke to you some time ago, Nikki, but unfortunately, I don't remember much. So, actually, it's not an it's not an unfortunate thing, because it won't be boring to me. We'll start all over. You know, it's not like I will have known everything you're going to answer already, you know? So,
so yeah, the older we get, the more we forget. It just happens.
There you go. And I don't like to admit it, but it's true. Nikki, where are you calling us from this morning?
So I'm in New York City. That's where I've been for the last, maybe 14 or 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, I love it out here. I mean, it's actually not that cold today. And it's kind of sunny, so I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Nice. Is that where you grew up, Nikki, or were you born somewhere else?
No, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, so about 7 hours west.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I've been here since 2001, actually right before September 11th.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of consider New York City my home now. It's been a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and what made you make the move? I mean, obviously New York is bigger and everything, but did you have some kind of career in mind?
Yeah, you know, I was always into acting ever since I was really little, and I always kind of, you know, had dreams of coming to New York and, I don't know, either being on Broadway or being a movie star, you know, and that was fun. I definitely did a couple things here and there, but really, you know, about 7 years ago, I started kind of realizing that I had this really strong hobby, which was cooking, and kind of thought, how can I kind of combine everything? And that's when I started putting, you know, YouTube videos up and things like that to try to kind of, you know, get my creative juices flowing when it came to kind of the hosting part of it and the production part of it, but still sharing my craft. And in the end, it kind of ended up giving me everything that I wanted. So it's kind of transitioned, but it's still, you know, life and entertainment, I guess you could say.
Right, sure. Yeah. So you were able to connect that with cooking with entertainment, and you ended up on TV. Now, before we get to that, I wanted to ask, so you started doing YouTube videos, and then what happened? You got noticed?
You know, yeah, I mean, I literally came home one day and told my husband that I was going to put videos on YouTube, and, you know, my goal was to get my own cooking show. Uh-huh. He thought I was a little crazy, but I started putting videos online, and it's, you know, these days, if you put content on the internet, it's not like everyone just sees it immediately.
Right.
And so it was a slow incline, but from putting content out there, I was able to kind of have other people take me more seriously when it came to my food.
Right.
So I actually ended up getting a radio job with WBAI here in New York.
Uh-huh.
And so I did a radio show for a couple years where I contributed some food, you know, stuff, everything from reviews to recipes. And then because I had a radio show, you know, I ended up doing a food blog. And in the end, you know, because I suddenly had kind of created to a degree this career for myself, Food Network took interest and had me appear on their show called Food Network Star Season 9.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a lot of putting stuff out there and kind of saying and showing people what you want to do until they finally can't stand it anymore and pay attention.
Yeah, there you go. You see, that's persistence for
that's
you.
That's kind of my strategy as well. Just annoy them until they say yes.
Finally, they're just like, okay, we get it. All right, fine. What do you want to do?
You see, that's what kids do. And they know something that we don't, you know. If you keep on, you know, if you don't let up, you're going to get your way. You know,
I think that, you know, talent is important, and obviously you need to have the skill in whatever you're pursuing. But I think at the end of the day, the difference between, you know, the million of very creative and artistic people here in New York, you know, the ones that are successful are really the ones that do hit that pavement every day for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, put in the effort part of it.
Right. And that's not easy, you know, and the same story is here in LA as well, in Hollywood. You know, you have to you really have to work hard to get noticed, you know, and because there's a million people trying to do the same thing you're doing, you know. And
I have so many friends that, you know, have kind of moved on from, you know, the reasons that they came to New York, whether that be acting or painting or photography. And they're, you know, they're very happy, and they found other things, you know, to kind of satisfy whatever they needed out of life. But, you know, most of them will admit that the difference between them and I is that, you know, I'm just the type of person that will make sure I set an alarm, even though I don't need to,
mm-hmm.
get up every day at 7 a.m. and really give myself work to do, even if no one's paying me. And at the end of the day, you know, that's the difference. Very few things are handed to us these days, so you got to kind of hit people over the head and make sure it happens.
You're right. So let's get a little bit to what you do on TV and stuff. You're, from what I understand, on the second season of Junk Food Flip.
Yeah, we're on season 2 of Junk Food Flip. It's my show on Cooking Channel.
Uh-huh.
It's me and Bobby Dean is my co-host.
Uh-huh.
And it's really fun because we're traveling around the country and we're finding, you know, amazing places and amazing owners and unique food. But the kind of twist is that the food that we're finding happens to be extremely indulgent. So we're talking 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 calories.
Oh, my God.
And after trying it, we come in and we issue a challenge to the owner. And we say that we think we can make a not just healthier version, but a better version. So we make something with way less than half the fat and calories.
Mm.
And we hold a big blind taste test. And we simply see if ours can be, you know, not only healthier, but better.
Mm.
So it's fun because you get to kind of see these great places, see this really fun food, you know, see our ideas on how to flip that food. And then, of course, see if the general public actually buys into it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's great. So, how fun.
Yeah. You know, so you say that for every junk food out there, there's probably a replacement that's a lot healthier and probably tastes better, too.
I believe so. And I believe that, you know, when you look, it's not always just about cutting that cheese and cutting that butter and all these things that we know we should do. But it's sometimes looking at a dish and thinking, you know, why do I like this? What is it about it? Is it the creaminess, the crunchiness? You know, is the cheese very important or not important at all? And just making really smart choices. And the food that we present on the show isn't necessarily diet food. You know, we're still going up against this very indulging competitor. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we bring something that can stack up. But really simply by making a lot of smart choices and deciding where to spend those calories, you know, I think that that's what the viewer really enjoys seeing is how many calories you can cut where you might not even notice them.
That's true. It makes sense. You know, that sounds pretty cool. So that's on the Cooking Channel. It's called Junk Food Flip, and you can see Nikki and Bobby Dean traveling the country. And so what are some of the nice places you've been to that you remember?
So actually, really, a really fun coincidence talking to you guys is that we spent most of season two on the West Coast in California.
Uh-huh.
So we were mostly around San Diego and then a little south of L.A. And Irvine and Brea, Huntington.
Oh, okay.
So we actually really got to, you know, explore the state, which was fun, instead of hopping around a crazy amount.
Yeah.
Which we kind of did season one. So we found just, you know, it's funny because people think of California as, you know, everyone's eating fish tacos and avocados and that's it.
Yeah.
I know.
But, you know, we found places that had just really, really cool food that, you know, was a little over the top.
Yeah.
But it was just really fun because I think that there is such a food scene, obviously, in California. And the variety of places we found, you know, everything from really authentic Mexican to crazy barbecue to people that make waffle sandwiches. And it was so cool to kind of, you know, not only see the towns change and kind of you drive an hour and suddenly it's a whole different feel, but also the amount of great food that we found around there. So it was really cool being in California this season.
Yeah, very nice. So now, you know, I'm reading in the notes here, and I remember when we spoke last time, and you have the motto of meat on the side. Now I remember. And so tell us a little bit about this. I mean, this means that you focus more on vegetables, obviously. And why is meat only like a side dish for you?
Yeah, you know, the thing about the way that, you know, we're eating, and everyone knows that, you know, Americans eat too much and eat this and this and this, all this stuff we do bad.
Yeah.
You know, and really the way that I try to approach food is just kind of rethinking it a little. Not necessarily making everyone eat diet food, but just rethinking our plate. And in general, we're used to looking at a plate of food, and you've got a big old piece of steak right in the center, and maybe a little steamed broccoli to the side, maybe right. A little side salad. And really what I'm trying to do with my whole motto, and actually also the name of my cookbook coming out June 7th, is this meat on the side. Mm. And it's about really kind of just rethinking that. So I look at that plate, and I think, how can I make that broccoli the star of the plate? How can I make it special enough that, you know, that's your entree portion, and then maybe include meat in some way so that at the end of the day, you know, you're really not supposed to have more than about 5 to 6 ounces of meat per day. Mm. And that's what a lot of us have in one serving.
Right.
So I'm just trying to really focus on the vegetables, show you really unique ways and things to do with them that maybe you never thought of, and then also, you know, not necessarily taking away your meat, but just not giving you quite as much. But I really believe that my recipes don't make you miss the meat. And if anything, just give you really tasty dishes and just different ways to think about broccoli. So yeah. It's kind of that whole idea of just kind of refocusing. And when you do that, the really amazing thing is that you also do end up eating at least 30% less fat and calories. You're getting so much more nutrition. Your body's working better. And so it's really, you know, kind of a simple thing, mm-hmm. but a really, you know, important thing that we could all be doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and the thing is that, you know, the nice thing about vegetables is they're natural, you know. It's not processed food. They've got all the nutrition we could ever need. And Yeah, so people need to focus on that more. Now, I think one of the reasons people don't eat as healthy is because they don't have the time to prepare and things like that, right? I mean, it's so easy just to eat fast food. Do you have any tips for that? I mean, should people like cook like maybe for the whole week or something or prepare things? But then it's not as fresh, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that you've got to really think about your lifestyle and think, what can I do? What's really feasible here? You know, right now it's just me and my husband, and I have a little extra time on my hands, and so I can maybe make dinner most nights. Mm-hmm. My sister, who was just visiting, she left this morning, you know, just went home to her four children.
Oh, my gosh.
And she also does daycare and has up to, like, 20 kids at some point. I mean, it's a crazy different environment.
Right.
But she was, you know, eating some of my food, and we were talking, and she's like, what can I do? And, you know, for her, I give her very different advice. And I think that, you know, yes, if you can buy a vegetable and eat it that day, then the nutrients are, you know, they're strongest and best. But if in order to eat that vegetable, you need to have it diced up or already prepared and then frozen, you know, that's so much better than grabbing, you know, a frozen meal or something from the grocery store.
Yeah.
And so I think that when it comes to, you know, not having a ton of time, having some real freezer staples and having stuff, you know, pre-diced and mm-hmm. just spending some time thinking about things that really work for your lifestyle is really important. And, you know, you don't have to come up with a ton of recipes. Come up with 10 things that you or your family really enjoy eating. Have that list on your fridge so that you can quickly look at it and say, oh, this will work, or I have the ingredients for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not just having to think about the new recipe every night, because then it's just way too much energy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's cool. Nikki, give out your website. I see you have a wealth of information here, recipes and videos and so forth. Let people find out more about what it is that you do.
Yeah, so, you know, along with the TV show and the book coming out in June, I also have NikkiDinkyCooking.com.
Mm-hmm.
And on my website, and, you know, if you just search Nikki Dinky or any sort of variation of a spelling of Nikki Dinky, you'll find it.
Exactly.
There's not many other people out there.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, what I do is I release new Meat on the Side focused recipes every single Monday, along with videos. I do step-by-step photos that you can really see how the recipe is prepared. And I'm really active on social media too. So I'm always every day, you know, sharing just fun ideas and things that I'm, you know, recipe testing and getting into. So I really do love the people that follow me online, because I think it's an opportunity to, you know, they inspire me, I inspire them. But there's really so many more recipes and ideas on my site, NikkiDinkyCooking.com.
Yeah, sounds good. So the book is coming out in June, Meat on the Side, right?
And, yeah, June 7th.
So that's going to be, it says delicious vegetable-focused recipes for every day. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the pictures here, and it looks very appetizing. Like, for example, you have a submarine sandwich, but not on bread, but inside a cucumber.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very, very creative, you know. And
yeah, it's just about thinking, you know, like, it's funny that recipe was a little old. It was from this summer, and someone had given me a large cucumber. And I had already eaten, you know, they'd given me like three, and I had already eaten two, and I was like, what else can I do with it? And that's what I really try to challenge myself is, like, you know, we all know certain ways to eat a cucumber, but let's try to think about other ways. And by simply, you know, taking that cucumber and taking out some of that seeds and that filling, you can pile it high with your regular, you know, sandwich or sub fillings like meat and cheese, and suddenly you've got a really convenient, you know, cucumber bread sandwich.
There you go.
It sounds weird, but it really works. It's crunchy, it's delicious, it packs up really well. So yeah, there was fun things like that I really enjoy.
Yeah. And, you know, and I mean, fresh vegetables are really tasty, you know. I mean, people just need to explore it a little more and understand that there's, you know, there's a lot of great stuff you can have from vegetables.
So true.
You know?
We're so spoiled in Southern California.
I know,
because
you know?
We have all these farmers markets with this amazing fruit and veggies and stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are spoiled. Every time I follow a couple chefs, you know, that are based out there, and they're always posting Instagram pictures and things of them at, like, the farmer's market, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I know.
You can see our farmer's market right now. It's a little pathetic. But, you know, fresh vegetables are amazing. And yes, I do love a tomato right off the vine. But what I really do strive to do is to present recipes and ideas that, you know, if you don't like tomatoes, I'm going to make you like tomatoes. And if you don't like kale, I'm going to show you a way to like kale. And so what I think is a little unique about my recipes is that it's not just, oh, this vegetable is so beautiful, put some salt on it, and it's perfect. You know, I accept that a lot of people don't like certain vegetables. And so I really do try to think of ways to maybe incorporate them in a taco or a pizza or fun ways that will make you like them. So I think it's kind of a twist on what I'm doing with vegetables, is kind of presenting them, you know, maybe with a little bit more seasoning or in a little different preparation, so that even if it's not your favorite veggie, it just might become that.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And yeah, and especially I think people have a lot of problems with kids eating their vegetables and stuff. And that's, I think raising kids on fast food is probably the worst thing you can do, you know. And some people don't think of it that way, you know. They don't make the effort. And I think eating healthy takes a little extra effort, but I think it's worth it, you know. And I think you're a person to prove that. So Nikki Dinky, you can catch the show Junk Food Flip on the Cooking Channel. That's what day of the week is that on?
So it's Tuesdays at 9 and 9:30. And right now you can actually catch, they're playing lots of reruns. So if you want to set your DVR, you can get them all. Mm. But Tuesdays at 9 p.m. is when you'll get new ones.
Sounds good. Well, congratulations to you. You're doing a lot of stuff, a very busy woman. And very inspiring, you know, to eat well. And I think every time we stop and think about what we eat, I think we do ourselves a favor, you know, and you're here to remind us constantly.
Yes, I'll be here just reminding you over and over again, once again, until you pay attention.
Exactly. Everybody check out NikkiDinkyCooking.com. You're going to find a lot of stuff. You can connect with her on social media, and you'll find all the links on her website. Nikki, that's N-I-K-K-I, and Dinky is D-I-N-K-I. And like she said, you type in anything into Google, it'll find it.
Very unique
like
name.
I said, it's not Amy Smith, so there's not many Nikki Dinkies out there.
There
so
you
even
go.
If you butcher the spelling, you're probably going to find me.
There you go. Awesome. Nikki, thank you so much for joining us once again, and much success to you with TV and the book and the website and everything, and come back. You're always back on
the
show.
Thank you, yes. Such a pleasure talking to you guys. So, hopefully next time I'll be able to join you in sunny L.A.
Yeah, that'd be great. But when the book comes out, feel free to call us again.
I would love that. You guys have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nikki. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. You know, I tend to like vegetables, but like I said, that's why I brought up the topic of it taking too much time, you know? I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
it does take a lot of time.
And I'm not into cooking, you know? Some people love it, you know? So,
you know, I've tried to get into
it. Maybe I should just marry someone.
Exactly. All your problems will be solved. Yeah, I know. I do like cooking, and I'm learning to like it more. But for a long time, I didn't do much of it at all. I was into the quick fixes.
Yeah.
But it sounds really, really neat what she's doing. I like the whole idea of the meat on the side, because we do eat way too much of meat, generally
speaking,
as Americans, I think. I mean, I'm sure most people do.
Yeah.
But don't say that in Texas. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right?
They're like, veggies on the side, please.
You know, veggies optional. Give me a big steak.
Right. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I know. But I think a good combination of both is always best, you know?
I agree.
I'm never going to give up my meat, but it's... But, you know, when we go to, like, Friday dinner at my brother's, they make so much food... with vegetables and meat and everything, that you can just feel you're eating healthy, you know?
Right. And, you know, it's so funny because I was talking to one of the guests we had a while back, Randall Bell, yesterday, because he's doing the whole, like, Core IQ thing for his book, Rich Habits, Rich Life.
Right.
Or associated with his book.
Right.
And so
he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, folks. Randall Bell, and he's got Rich Habits, Rich Life. Very inspiring man. He's very smart, right?
He's way super smart.
Right.
And I went to his house in Kato yesterday to record an interview. I was doing like the kind of health, fitness, wellness portion of the Core IQ for him.
Oh, nice.
And he was asking about meat and everything, and I said, you know, obviously like lean proteins and everything are better, but I am very low in iron naturally, and I find myself craving red meat occasionally, and I think it's totally fine to eat red meat like once a week.
Yeah,
why not? There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
As long as you're not eating it every meal.
Right, yeah, and try to diversify with turkey and things like that too, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I tend to prefer healthier meal, but like I said, sometimes I just don't have the time, so I'll grab a sandwich or something. But even then, you can grab a healthy sandwich, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't really have a problem with weight, so I can handle some bread and stuff, you know. It's not a big deal.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, earlier in my life, I didn't eat very healthy, you know, a lot of fast food and stuff.
I think that's the case with everybody.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we grow up on it, and it's tasty food and everything, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, so that's food for you folks.
Tomorrow is Super Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
Ah, dun, dun, dun.
We didn't finish talking about the Oscars, though.
Oh, my gosh, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. We do want to mention Leo DiCaprio.
Yes, congratulations to him.
Finally won, right?
Yes, that's great.
And
that's
I think
exciting.
He deserved it for The Revenant, because although I haven't seen it, I saw parts of it or even pictures, and it looks pretty powerful.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a good movie.
Totally deserved it.
And he's proved to be a very, very diverse actor, you know? I mean,
yeah.
He still looks like he's 16 years old, but he gets some of these roles, you know.
I think he's great. Well deserved. And it had been a long time coming for him, definitely.
That's true, yeah. And then the movie that won was Spotlight. Did you get a chance to see that one?
I didn't.
All?
Yeah.
No. That's about a sexual abuse scandal involving Catholic priests.
Oh, gosh.
And so I guess Hollywood liked these movies, you know, and. So it won best picture, and I'd like to see it now because it seems like, you know, it's a relevant thing. It's an emotional thing probably, and I'd like to know what's going on. You know,
yeah, it's you know, I'll definitely be revisiting some of these screeners I got, especially the ones that won. I'll have to watch.
Yeah,
but
I know you got to be up to things, you know, up to date with these things.
You do, but yeah, it was a crazy fun night, and I'm sure a lot of people in the industry are waking up quite late this morning.
Yeah, right.
They're like, set the alarm for 12.
Yeah.
Early enough after last night's festivities.
So this weekend I went to buy some shoes in Hollywood, and the traffic was like crazy on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
It was totally packed, right?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, what is going on?
And then especially on Sunset, I got stuck there in one traffic jam, and I did a U-turn in the middle of Sunset and got away from there.
Yeah.
And then I discovered that there was a mini concert by Elton John and Lady Gaga at the Old Tower Records on Sunset.
Oh, that's what it was.
So that's what it was, yeah. And it shut down Hollywood almost completely, man. I mean, every street I took was packed.
Yeah, Saturday was crazy. I was running around to a lot of auditions, and yeah, it was
the traffic.
I did, even up here, like in North Hollywood and around that area of the valley. I was really surprised. I didn't know what was going on because it's usually not like that.
I know. And the freeways were open and everything, so yeah, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, so yeah, you brought up Super Tuesday, which is tomorrow, right?
It is.
Yes, wow.
I know.
So tomorrow, how many states are voting on Super Tuesday? I don't remember. What is it, like 20?
It's something like that.
No, not 20 states. But I don't remember how many. That's kind of, that sucks. I'm like looking it up now, right? But it doesn't really matter. But
I know Texas is one of them.
Yeah, several states are going to be voting tomorrow, and that really sets off the election season. Now, it definitely looks like Trump and Hillary are going to be the nominees, you know?
It kind of does.
Yeah, right?
For better or worse, here we go.
Everybody's squirming.
I know.
On both sides, you know?
I know. I mean, the Republican Party is just like, good God.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
But who wants Hillary either, you know? I don't know. We'll see.
I know. It'll be interesting.
It just sucks that these parties don't really represent what we think, you know? I mean, it's like, okay, so the Republicans are on the right, the Democrats are on the left, but a lot of things that the Republicans are doing are totally off, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. I totally don't, it's like, it contradicts what I believe. So right. What do you do, you know? I mean,
right.
But they're more closer to what I think than the liberals are.
Right, so it's kind of like the lesser of two evils.
Exactly, and it's always like that in elections, you know? You go, I don't really have a favorite here, so I'll just vote for the least terrible one.
Exactly. I know, exactly. I guess there's not a way to make the perfect candidate, you know?
No, there isn't, you know? But sometimes, especially now when the country is very divided, you know, when it's not, it's easy to find a common leader.
Right.
You know? But they have this post on Facebook that I don't understand. People are, like, showing Trump with his wife, pictures of her as a model in lingerie or something, and his daughter in glamour shots, and they're like, you know, this proves that the elections are racist, or whoever's racist now. What does that have to do with racism at all? You know, why do people get upset because he's got a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter?
I don't know. That's ridiculous.
But because people are jealous.
Pretty much.
People are envious, you know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, to me, it doesn't bother me if we have a beautiful first woman.
No,
so what?
So
you know?
What?
Right?
Yeah.
Who says they have to be ugly?
I know.
I mean, Michelle Obama is very pretty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, she would. Oh, so I guess the meme claims that if Michelle Obama posed like that, you know, people would be racist about it or something.
Oh, I don't think so.
I know. People look for it everywhere, man, and I'm tired of this already.
I know. It's like
can we move on already? Stop being...
I mean, she would look great.
Yeah.
Pose in lingerie, Michelle Obama.
Exactly.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so what the hell? I wish people would just relax a little bit and just think of the best thing for our country.
I don't think
it's necessarily Trump, but that's the way it looks. So
yeah, I mean, I'm really chill about those kind of things.
Yeah,
like, I'm pretty socially liberal. I don't. I mean, come on, please.
Yeah,
like who cares? It's just the body. It's the you know. This is hilarious. One of my girlfriends was like, we were out one night and she was talking to this guy and they were like, you know, discussing nudity in films and it was in Hollywood. And she was like, yeah, well, you know, my mom always said that, like, your boob is the same thing as your hand. It's just a body part. And he was like, well, then high five.
Yeah, let me hold you.
It was so funny. Her face was like, no. I mean, it was hilarious. We were all just cracking up. But, yeah, I tend to kind of agree. Okay.
Yeah, guys are like, you know, they have soft spots for women. I mean, you know, it's like this guy opened this restaurant here. It's a sandwich place. And I told him, I said, you got to put some hot chicks here. You know,
oh,
you only have ugly guys here. And he says, yeah, but they're so hard to hire. They won't, like, do anything. He says, they won't clean the bathrooms. They won't do this. They won't do that. They won't cover their hair or whatever if they make the food. You know? So I told him, I said, try to pay him a little more and only put one girl at the cash register or something. That's all you need, really.
You don't have to require them to clean the bathroom.
Right,
exactly. Of course they're not going to do that. Like,
let the guys do it. You know, let her do what she's good at. And that is attracting customers, you know? So he says that he put up his girlfriend for a couple hours during lunch. And he says everybody was asking him for a phone number and everything.
Oh, God.
You see, I told you. You put hot chicks, guys will come.
Oh my God, I know.
You know, the dispensaries, the same thing. You know, the smart ones, they put hot chicks there.
That's so funny.
And you go there because you'd rather be served by a pretty woman than just some guy, you know,
right?
Some nerd or something. So.
It's so true. It's an unfortunate truth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But that's how it works, folks, and you need to understand that in business, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what the elections are like tomorrow. We're as always left to the end in California to vote.
I know, making no influence.
Exactly. Making, no, not making even a dent, you know.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're in California.
Wow.
But I do have to tell you, when I was in Texas, I was like held at gunpoint to vote.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, literally. I was like, I'm going. Oh, my gosh. Chill, people, chill.
But what's amazing is in the latest polls, Trump is leading like 49%.
Man, oh, gosh.
To Marco Rubio, 16. That's
wow.
That's a 33-point difference, man. There's no way anybody's catching up to him in this.
I really don't think so. I think it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be interesting because you know that like all the dirty laundry is coming out to play.
Right. Yeah.
When, you know, I mean, you know the Democrats are going to like shit up.
They're already trying to destroy him. And
I know.
They're doing a pretty good job, but you know, he's still standing strong. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm kind of scared or... Scared maybe is a strong word, but I'm kind of concerned about what he's going to do, you know, when he becomes president. But we'll see. I mean, the worst that can happen is we can impeach him, you know?
Right, right. I mean, that's the great thing about America is there are so many checks in place.
Exactly.
It's nobody somebody can come to power and... You know,
become a dictator or something. Yeah,
right. No.
Take over the army and.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in this country.
No.
Yeah, so there. You know, finally, Mark Zuckerberg, I guess, is getting threats from ISIS. Did you know that? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because apparently they're refusing to take down pages that make fun of Muhammad. So ISIS is like. You know, and they made some videos and stuff, but Mark Zuckerberg says there's been worse, more dangerous threats even than that. So,
oh my God, that's really scary.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, when is this going to stop?
You're right. And, you know, and there's nothing Facebook can do about it. I mean, they shut down an account, you'll have 10 new ones.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, come on, people, get a life.
Like. Yeah. So they try to do it on Twitter, too. But, So with Twitter also, they close down accounts, they reopen them, and there's a lot of sympathizers of ISIS who are not necessarily part of it. And they carry the message forward. And, you know. So I don't know. But I'm sure they threatened him with death. And that's pretty scary. So
Very scary. Poor guy.
I'm sure he's got a lot of security anyway. But still, you know. It's like,
yeah. And it's like, you know, like you said, take down one, there's going to be 10 new ones. I mean, what can he exactly do about
it?
Right,
exactly.
Even if he wanted to or whatever, I mean, there's only so much he can do.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Nikki Dinky, thank you for calling in and telling us about vegetables and what we should eat.
We will heed your advice.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow.
And her show is Junk Food Flip. You can catch that on the Cooking Channel. And that's it for today, Kelsey. Thank you, as always.
Yeah.
Try to get some rest.
That's exactly what I'm going to go do. Sleep. I can't wait.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.